What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. How you doing, Corey?
I'm doing fantastic. A little mailbag today. I'm excited.
Yeah, I got some great questions from some listeners, some OTG guys. Obviously, the NBA is back tonight as well. We're recording this prior to tip-off, but pretty excited about that. And obviously, you can check out the show, previous shows, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Dash Radio, YouTube. But, Corey, let's get right into it. First question from our guy, Will Jackson, OTG writer. Is Sacramento for real? Could they be a sneaky mid-high level free agent destination? We'll start with the first part. So is Sacramento for real? And I think he means as a playoff team.
I think they are a playoff team and that's in that regard. I think they are for real. Obviously, adding Harrison Barnes is not just a piece for the future, but it's a piece to win now. I think that De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield have kind of shown that they can really carry this team. Bogdanovich off the bench has been a spark plug. Marvin Bagley's impressed in his rookie campaign. So I think they are for real. Obviously, Harrison Barnes is still trying to figure out his role, and they're still trying to figure out some gelling things. But I think they are for real.
Yeah, I do too. I think they are for real. I'm not locking them into the playoffs, but I think they will compete for that final spot or even the seventh spot. And you mentioned the Harrison Barnes addition, obviously, right at the trade deadline. Getting a player like that, you know, he's not an all-star player, but he's probably a starter to an above-average starter. So getting a guy like that should really boost him. A lot of young guys on this team. You mentioned De'Aaron Fox, you know, Bagley, Bogdanovich, Buddy Hield. A lot of guys can still develop and get better as the season progresses. So I do think they are for real. What about the second part of the question? Do you think they are a sneaky free agent destination this summer?
Well, I need an – I kind of – what's – who do you – just give me a name of a mid-high-level free agent first. Like, who is a mid-high-level free agent? Like, what is that tier of play? Like, is that a Tobias Harris?
Yeah, I think that's more so a Tobias Harris. Like, I don't think they'll land any all-stars or, you know, big-time players. I don't think they'll get a meeting with Kawhi or KD or anything like that. But some of the mid-tier guys, like a Tobias Harris, maybe like a Chris Middleton, you know, guys along those lines, I could see them getting a meeting with. I'm not sure if they'll sign them because of just the organization having such a bad reputation. Obviously, this year they turned it around. But you don't usually get rid of a rep like that in one season.
Yeah, I'm going to say they're not going to be a mid to high level free agent destination unless, of course, unless they make a playoff run, right? Say they get into the playoffs and say, obviously, they're going to play, you know, either the Nuggets or the Warriors in the first round more than likely. They're not going to beat either one of those teams. If they do,
they're not going to beat Golden State.
but if they were to make, you know, maybe they make it a 5-game series, right? And they just have, and not of those 5 games, besides the one they win, maybe 2 of them are really close. Maybe that does push a guy like a Tobias Harris, somebody to say, like, maybe I can give this team a shot because they're a bunch of young guys and they're already pushing or knocking on the door. But realistically, I don't think this is a mid to high level free agent destination.
I think, like, somebody they could probably target would be somebody like a Vucevic. Like, I think that would make sense, you know, if they wanted to move on from Willie Cauley-Stein. I know there's mixed feelings about him. I think that wouldn't be a terrible fit, or, you know, a center or even a guy like a Julius Randle if they wanted to go that route. I think they could get maybe some of, like, the fringe all-stars to the above-average starters.
Yeah, I think Vucevic is a good name to throw out there.
Because they could offer, you know, I'm not sure about their cap station 100% because the Harrison Barnes things kind of throw up a lot of the calculations that are out there. But I'm pretty sure they could finagle a different couple players to open up more space if they needed to. But next question, we got Jorge Cantu. Obviously, he's been on the show, host of Heater's Gonna Heat podcast, OTG writer, does some great fantasy content as well. Do you see the Clippers tanking or fighting for a playoff spot for the remainder of the season?
They're fighting. Not that I think they're going to make the playoffs by any means, but they're going to fight. The guys in this team, they're fighters. You know, Montrezl Harrell strikes me as a fighter, especially I see his face. Patrick Beverley, so I have space on his name for 2 seconds. Doc Rivers, obviously, is a big-time coach. And, you know, Gallinari is a vet. I think his team is going to compete as high as they can with trying to get as many reps for guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But are they going to be a playoff team? I don't think so. But I don't think they're going to roll over by any means.
Yeah, 100%. I think they'll still compete. I mean, they're looking to land a big fish, and I don't think tanking is really the idea you want to send to that. You want to be competitive, show some of these guys improving. You mentioned a Harrell, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think they will compete for a playoff spot. Will they get it? I'm not sure. Probably not, but I still think they'll fight the rest of the season, like you said, Corey. Now, we got Cam T, and I guess this is probably directed at me, but I'll let you answer first. How would the Nets fare if they played in the Western Conference?
not great unless they were healthy. I mean, if it's the Nets team right now without Spencer Dinwiddie being healthy, I don't think it goes over that well. I think they're probably somewhere in the range of where the Kings are. They're probably pushing for a playoff spot, or at least being competitive, but I don't think they fare much better.
Yeah, no, obviously, you know, the Western Conference has more good teams, where you might argue that the East has more great teams. On a daily basis, you're facing off a good matchup every single night in the West. So like you said, I think the Nets would probably be competing for a playoff spot. I wouldn't lock them in like I would in the East, but they'd be probably between like the Kings and the Timberwolves in that range.
For sure.
So next one up, our guy Jack Manuel, obviously he's been on the show a couple times, pretty much regularly. Are you guys on Team Davis and Clutch Sports or Team New Orleans Pelicans?
I'm on Team New Orleans Pelicans. And my reasoning is because obviously the injury, quote-unquote injury, to his shoulder the last time he played a Pelicans jersey, and then he obviously played in the All-Star game. This is kind of tying into something I want to bring up at the end of the show. And then obviously just went on vacation, took a photo in front of the Hollywood Tower. Now he's on the HBO, you know, the shop. So it's pretty clear where Anthony Davis intends on playing and wants to play. And then for me, if the Pelicans, it's kind of not even just Davis versus Clutch. It's kind of like Davis Clutch and the NBA versus the Pelicans, because the NBA has kind of tied the Pelicans' hands in which they're being forced to play Anthony Davis. It's already even reported that tomorrow Anthony Davis will play against the Indiana Pacers. Granted, does that mean he plays, you know, 35 minutes, 30 minutes, 20 minutes? Does he just enter the game and then get subbed out right away? To what degree he plays is still up to question. But I'm on Team Pelicans because this is your most valuable asset. He doesn't want to be there. I think he kind of disrupts the locker room because it's just a media circus right now. And, you know, if God forbid he gets hurt, something like, Zion Williamson last night getting hurt in the first 30 seconds. And that could have been a lot worse. It was just a knee sprain. But, you know, if Anthony Davis gets hurt, I mean, the Pelicans literally might have to move, like relocate. The entire franchise could be doomed if he was to go down.
Yeah, this is I'm like indifferent. I really am not like team one way or another. I'll touch it from all perspectives that you mentioned. From the New Orleans side, not playing him, I 100% wouldn't play him. And like I mentioned before, someone's brought this up where the Pelicans should just sit him, take the fine, and then when they make a trade with the other team, you take cash considerations for the fine they have to pay. It'll probably be like 2.3 mil or something like that. So I think I would just do that. That way you don't risk it. The NBA might be mad about it. Oh, deal with it. You know what I mean? New Orleans is, you know, going to be mad regardless, like whatever happens with Anthony Davis. Like, it just didn't work out. And I think from that perspective, the only thing I'd say bad about Clutch Sports is, like, they publicly requested a trade, like, a week or two before the deadline. Like, they could have kept it quiet and we wouldn't have really talked about it as much, and it wouldn't have disrupted the Pelicans locker room as much. So from that perspective, I think Clutch Sports is in the wrong. But in Anthony Davis requesting a trade, I don't think that's wrong, because at no point in his time in New Orleans has he ever been on a championship-level team. You know, has any of those teams been able to really compete with Golden State or even get to the Western Conference Finals? The answer is no. So I think it's okay for him to request a trade. Maybe the way they're going about it is a little bit wrong, but I understand the point of wanting to go to another team.
Right. I mean, I 100% agree. I mean, I'm all for what the reasoning why Davis wants out, but I'm not for the fact that the Pelicans have their hands tied. That's just my perspective. But you're right. I mean, for Davis, you're one of the top five known to be best players in the league, and you've been lucky to get out of the first round of the playoffs, and it happened just last year. So without a question, I think he's in the right to want out. We see it with these kind of, you know, Paul George and Jimmy Butler, but these teams that are on sub to mid-level teams that just can't get over the hump, eventually they're going to want out.
Yeah, and you know, some of it for New Orleans has been bad luck with injuries, but some of it has been bad free agent signings and not bringing another star there, and the whole DeMarcus Cousins thing just kind of went sour on them. That wasn't as much their fault as it was bad luck, but still. And I think the whole thing with the Pelicans having their hands tied, it's more so like on the NBA. Like, they should need to understand from the Pelicans' perspective, if he were to get injured, like you mentioned, it could, you know, force the team to relocate or get a terrible trade package, lose all leverage. So there has to be a better understanding there, and I think the Pelicans are kind of reach out to the NBA over the next couple of days and kind of discuss some different ideas. But obviously always a great question from Jack. On to another OTG guy, Kyle Russell. Do you think the greatest challenge for the Warriors three-peat will come from the West or the East? Even then, do you think they'll actually upset the Warriors in a seven-game series? So we'll start with the first part. So do you think their biggest competition will come from the East or the West, Corey?
Oh, man, that's such a tough question. Because I think the road, obviously, to the finals through the West is extremely tough, right? You know, you're going to have to go through at least two very good teams to get to the Western Conference, to get to the NBA Finals. But then the East, you know, I'm going to say it comes from the East. I'm going to say the toughest competition comes in the East in the NBA Finals. And I say that because of the road to the NBA Finals. I think it's going to be a little bit harder, a little bit longer. You might have to go through the Lakers in the first round, and then you have to go through maybe, you know, like OKC or then Houston. Like, who knows what the road looks like, but you could be facing some really big names, some big talent teams to get to the finals. Then you have to take on either the Boston Celtics, the Toronto Raptors, the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, outside chance the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't really think they get that far, but I think the East is probably going to be what gives them the toughest matchup.
I agree. I think the second best team in the NBA is probably in the Eastern Conference. Is it the Milwaukee Bucks? Is it the Toronto Raptors? Is it the Celtics? Is it the Sixers? I think all those teams probably have more star talent in their starting lineup and probably a little bit better depth, maybe excluding Philadelphia. So I think it will come from the East. And I think the road to the finals will be tough, but those four teams in the East are really, really good. And I think in the West, you know, the team that competed with them last year was Houston, and they're just not on the same level. They just don't have the same energy they did last year. That could change from now to then. The only team in really the West, and no disrespect to Denver, I just don't think they had the experience yet to compete with Golden State in a 7-game series, would be OKC. Like, OKC, I think, could really push them and really try to grind out a series. And obviously, Paul George is playing at an all-time high level right now.
And if you were to somehow get Russell Westbrook to come somewhat efficient, then that becomes a tougher series, because obviously they're winning right now and playing great defense. And Westbrook, some nights I'm watching the box score and he's still going, you know, like 5 for 20 from the field, and they're still winning by double digits.
Yeah, if he were to get hot, you know, that would be a game changer. Obviously, you know, there's still a lot of different avenues for teams to improve in the West and make it a tough, difficult journey. But right now, I would say the East. Then, obviously, the second part of the question, I think we both agree. Do we actually think any of these teams could upset the Warriors in the 7-game series? I can answer that quickly. No.
I think it's a no as well, but I think the best chance would be the Bucks. I think I still give the Bucks the best chance to pull up an upset. If any team, even if it's, you know, the Raptors are, it depends on who you see as the best team in the East. I think it's the Bucks. I think the Bucks have the best chance of pulling up an upset. Do I think they will? No.
Yeah, I think the Raptors actually have the best chance. That's just, I don't know. I've just been obsessed with their defensive versatility for a lot of the year, and I think they can throw out a lot of different lineups that actually can match up with Golden State. And obviously, Kawhi has the possibility of defending KD. You could probably make the argument for Antetokounmpo, but I'm probably a little bit more confident in Toronto if they were able to get there. Milwaukee might even be a better team, but I just like that matchup a little bit better.
It's fair.
Now, on to last question, Drew Russell. I don't believe he is related to Kyle Russell, but this one is probably a little bit more geared towards you. Why do the Pacers not get any love? Third in the East, and no one is talking about them. Nationally televised games getting pulled. They still have a chance for home court advantage, getting out of the first round with their defense.
Yeah, I mean, this has been like the million-dollar question around Pacers Twitter. Some big media outlets have started to talk about it a little bit. The Pacers don't get any love because Victor Oladipo got hurt. That's why they don't get any love. I think this team would be getting plenty of love if Victor Oladipo didn't get hurt. But when you lose the face of your franchise for the season, you know, people just stop talking about you. Obviously, that's why they're losing national televised games, because do people want to watch the Indiana Pacers led by a gritty group of Miles Turner, Sabonis, Wesley Matthews, Darren Collison, Bogdanovich? No, because there's no Oladipo. So I understand why they're not getting any love. But to his point of them being third in the East, this team could still very well end up as third in the East. The team came out today. A lot of guys are talking about how they feel refreshed. And I know Darren Collison had a quote yesterday in which he said, you know, when he was on other teams and he saw a tough part of the schedule coming up, he'd be like, oh, damn, like, this is going to be really tough. But now they don't even – he hasn't bat an eye at it, because this is a team that's third in the East for a reason. So the team itself is confident. They themselves know that they – deserve to be a 3 seed, and they do play tremendous team basketball, and they have a fantastic defense. But you know, when you lose your best player, you're just not going to get a lot of love.
Yeah, you're pretty much spot on, Corey. Obviously, you know the Pacers better than anyone. Oladipo being out, you just don't have the pop. You know what I mean? It's just like there's just no thing that really attracts you to the Pacers. Already being in a small market, it was kind of hard to sell on them. And then losing a guy like Oladipo, who's a top five shooting guard, a guy who's just really improved and just brings a different type of energy and juice to the game. You lose him, it's just going to lose some of your national spotlight. And then I think just from the perspective of in the playoffs, people probably aren't as high then, because you have a guy like Oladipo who can get you a bucket when you need it late in a game. Right now you look at the roster and I think that's the concern. It's like, all right, can they really get these late game buckets if they're in a matchup with, you know, the Bucks, the Sixers, the Celtics, or the Raptors, you know, I don't think a lot of people are confident in that. Could they upset someone? They probably could. But I think right now, you know, you'd put the money on them not, because Oladipo not being there. And it's a big adjustment. Like, I know they played well without him, but it's a different game when the playoffs start.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit a couple shows ago. This stretch in March is going to be really telling for them. They got a lot of tough matchups. The Bucks, the Sixers are on the schedule. The Warriors are up ahead. And this is really going to show what this team is made of. Can they get those crunch time buckets without a guy like Victor Oladipo who can just take over the game? Because right now the best scorer on the team is Bojan Bogdanovic. And not that that takes anything away from him. He's been tremendous. But there are certain elements that hold them back when they're facing these top-notch teams in the East and the West.
Yeah, like locking down Bogdanovic and locking down Oladipo is just a completely different thing. Like, and that's no disrespect to Bogdanovic, who can get hot, but locking him down is a lot easier than Oladipo.
Right. Great time, though, for Miles Turner to step up. And I've kind of been starting to preach this. If Miles Turner is going to take a major jump in his game, it's going to be right now. We kind of saw what Oladipo went down earlier in the season. Miles Turner started stepping up, kind of becoming the leader of this team. Had a really good stretch, a couple game-winning block, I believe, against the Chicago Bulls in that stretch. So now it's, can he take a jump? Can he average more than 13 points per game? Can he maybe get like 17 or 18? Because if the Pacers really want to make a run, Miles Turner has got to become the clear-cut second-best player with Oladipo gone. With him there, and then the best player with him gone.
Yeah, and I think, you know, injuries can sometimes be a blessing in disguise. Obviously, you never want to see a guy like Oladipo go down, but it is a great opportunity for Miles Turner. You know, you see guys step up when injuries are out there, and then when he comes back, now all of a sudden you have a two-headed monster instead of just Oladipo kind of running the show on a regular basis.
Yeah, and officially starting tomorrow, no longer will he be wearing the face mask after he broke his nose a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but sometimes those masks can be extremely annoying.
He said, I never got comfortable with the mask on. And even with the mask on, he was shooting 50% from the field. So he was still doing very well.
Yeah, so obviously, and guys, guys and girls, any questions you want to shoot us anytime, we'll be more than happy to answer them. We'll probably try to do a mailbag again in like a month or two. But since we finished that up pretty quickly, we're going to put the pressure on Corey a little bit. So I'm going to give you a guessing game.
Ooh.
And you're going to have to try to guess the players that were in the top five in this category. So we'll start easy. Points per game. Let's see how many of the players you can name in the top five. I think you might be able to get them all.
Paul George.
Correct.
James Harden.
Correct.
Kevin Durant.
Correct.
Antetokounmpo?
No.
No, he's just outside of it then.
I'll give you a little bit of a hint. James Harden was number one. Paul George was number two. Three and four you didn't answer. And number five is Kevin Durant.
Five is Kevin Durant. Interesting. LeBron James, but did he register?
LeBron James is not on there, no. I'm not sure if it's because of he didn't meet the requirements, but he was not in the top five. I'm just on the leaders page right now.
Uh-oh. This is getting really – Stephen Curry, he can't be in there.
Steph is number three.
Steph is three. Okay, so four – Can you just give me a hint? East or West?
West. We mentioned him today.
West, and we mentioned him today. Oh, no. That ain't good.
we got a full question.
Oh, Davis. Anthony Davis.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, you got them all, Corey.
Okay.
I think, five out of eight? That's not too bad.
Yeah, that's not bad.
All right. Assists per game. This gets a little tougher.
Russell Westbrook's definitely one of them.
Yes. Number one for Westbrook.
Oh, boy. Jokic?
Yes. Yep. Jokic is number five. Yep. 7.7.
I knew he was in there. Going through teams in my head.
One guy is really tough.
Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry's in there, right?
Yep. Kyle's still number two.
Okay. Let's see. Is Antetokounmpo in that?
Nope.
He's only had like five assists a game. He's actually not that good of a. Like, I know he gets like decent triple double lines. You said one of them is really tough.
Yeah, one of them is really tough. I would be surprised if you got that one. The other guy, I think that you'll end up getting.
Lillard.
No.
No way would it be Lillard. They score too much. Oh, LeBron's probably in it, right?
Nope.
Damn. I got three out of five so far. Okay. Are they both in the West, East?
One East, one West.
Ah, that doesn't do nothing. That does nothing for me. That doesn't help. Okay, well, there's one in the East still. Let's think about
it. We mentioned both teams today.
Kyrie Irving.
No.
Oh, he's got to be close, though.
Yeah, I think he's close. I think he might have been in the top five at one point, but he fell out.
James Harden's not averaging enough assists, is he?
No, his assist numbers are a little bit down this year.
Right.
I'll give you a hint. Jack likes this player. They share ties.
Okay, Joe Harris? Oh, Ben Simmons.
Joe Harris. He was in the assist for game. Yeah, Ben Simmons. Yeah,
Ben Simmons, okay.
Do you want the last guy or you want to make your final guess?
Can I have the – no, yeah, just tell me. I've guessed enough.
Jrue Holiday.
Oh, yeah, I would never have guessed that.
Third, 7.9. That's very impressive.
That is impressive.
He's really improved his game a lot this year. We'll give you one more category. This one is probably a little bit tougher. Field goal percentage.
Field goal percentage.
I'll tell you, they're all bigs.
Joel Embiid?
No.
Really?
I think his 3-point shot. Is
He's gonna hurt himself with that. Okay, his field goal percentage.
No one shoots threes on the list in the top five. I'll give you that.
No one shoots. Oh wow!
They all played in the West. One of them now plays in the East.
Jimmy Butler?
Nope.
Well, no,
they're all bigs.
They're all big. Oh, they're right. They're all bigs.
All centers. Pretty much. The one guy you might call a tweener, but he's pretty much a center of my
DeAndre Jordan's one of them, right?
Number two, yep. DeAndre at number two. One guy's making a return from injury very soon.
Capella?
Yep, number three for Capella.
All right, so I need three more, right?
Yep. Two of the guys are international players.
Oh, Rudy Gobert's got to be in there, right?
Yeah, he's number one.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That makes sense. All right. Two more. Man, I want to. You said they're in the West? Like, not Sabonis?
No, not Sabonis. They're in the West. Yeah. One's a most improved player candidate, and the other one's an international player that people love, and he has great hair.
Great hair? Oh, great. Oh, he's got great hair.
Good beard, too.
Good beard.
Come on.
Steven Adams?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was painting a picture for you on that one.
I'm thinking hair, beard. I'm trying to picture. I'm missing one guy, right?
Most improved player candidate.
No, it's not Sabonis. Sabonis has got to be close.
Yeah, he is close. He's right on the verge. It's a candidate. It's not the winner, but he's in the running.
The last guy's in the Western Conference, right?
Yeah. Similar game, I guess you could say, too.
Similar game. Man, Western Conference, huh?
You want it?
I'm just running through Harrell, Montrezl?
Yeah, Montrezl Harrell.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh God, I didn't like that one.
You want another one or are you good?
Give me one more. What do you got?
All right, I'll give you the option. You want 3-point percentage or rebounds per game?
Ooh, rebounds per game. I feel like that's gonna be tough.
Okay, here we go. Hit me.
All right. I know Joel Embiid is in this one.
Yes, number two.
Andre Drummond has to be in this one.
Number one at 15. He's got 1.5 lead on everybody. Three other guys we mentioned all in this little game right here.
Rudy Gobert, right?
Yep.
Antetokounmpo.
Nope.
Shit. Clint Capella.
Nope.
Shit. Vucevic.
Nope.
Okay. Wait. All right. Anthony Davis. He's got to be in it.
Yep.
All right. So one more.
You just mentioned him in the last segment.
No, Harrell doesn't average that many rebounds.
No, he's under 10.
Who else did I? DeAndre.
Yes, you got him.
Oh, okay. Oh, that was good.
Yeah, you almost got those all without a
besides mistake. the little stretch where I just guessed everyone who was wrong, but yeah.
Not too bad. But anything else you want to touch on, Corey, before we get out of here?
I want to just get your opinion and thoughts on the Zion Williamson injury last night, because that was kind of
crazy.
Obviously, yeah. I mean, first off, his foot went through his shoe. I've never seen that. And even Obama was like, he broke the shoe. What are some of your thoughts, Nick, on the fact, like, you know, obviously this is a major guy, right? This is supposed to be the number one overall draft pick. This is the guy
that's a lock for number one, even if he was injured.
Right. Everyone's tanking to get him. And it brings up the question of these seats were like $2,000, the cheapest, you know, seats you could get at this game. And he goes down in the first 30 seconds. Is this system flawed?
Yeah, I've been really opposed to the college sports system for a long time. Ever since I've been in college myself, it was a big like topic of discussion and different classes and whatnot. I just feel like it's a ripoff for the players. And people are like, oh, they get free education. They get all these, you know, complimentary things. But let's be honest, they're making millions of dollars, a ton of money. You just said it. You know, the average seat was like 2K. I think there are seats that sold for like 5K plus. These kids aren't getting anything. And like you've heard stories of college athletes being hungry. And yeah, it's not like they don't get like meal plans and stuff, but when you're like working at an excessive level, and also if you're like a human that's like Zion, who's like what, 6'8", like 280 pounds.
Somehow like, gained 100 pounds too in a year.
Yeah, freshman year he grew like 5 inches too. I was like, what, dude, like give me whatever you had and maybe it'll still work. I know I'm 26, but but yeah, no, I'm like completely opposed to this. And I was a big fan. I know the NBA has been talking about changing the age, and there was already like a submission sent in today. I was already a big fan of like high school players electing to go in the G League or play international basketball instead, because at least they get some type of money and they're probably even more prepared for the NBA game, where I think the college game, I'm not a huge fan. That was actually the first college basketball game I was going to watch all year. And then he got hurt and I kind of lost a lot of interest. But the way the game is set up, it's not like the NBA. So it's almost not even preparing these players for NBA basketball anyway. So 100% against college sports. At me if you want, at OTG Nick, I could care less.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think the G League system is probably what we're going to see, especially, I mean, I'm glad it wasn't serious. It was like a grade one sprain, so I'm happy that. But if it was a serious injury, I could have saw this becoming a major reason why we saw major change quickly. Like you mentioned, you know, it just doesn't make sense. Why go to college, risk injury? You're not getting paid, and you could ruin your entire life, where maybe the G League can pay you a little bit. And also, I know this is never going to happen because it's just kind of how it's been, but there's been plenty of times where guys have come right out of high school and gone to the NBA and been successful basketball players. You know, Kobe comes to mind, LeBron James obviously comes to mind, Kevin Garnett. Like, it has happened, and it does work at times. I'm not saying it's a great thing for every basketball player, but Zion, to me, is one of those players where I feel like right out of high school, he could have been in the NBA. Granted,
100%.
Sometimes it does stunt your growth because you do need it, you know. You're coming in raw, right? Especially a guy like Zion. I feel like he's a little bit more raw, especially with his jump shot. But it's flawed, man. It's got to change, because last night could have been real bad.
Yeah, and I think even in this situation, it could have been real bad. But in another situation, it could even be worse, where, you know, it's a really stacked draft and you're projected to go top three, and then all of a sudden you tear your ACL and now you drop down to, you know, the bottom of the first round. That money amount, that guaranteed money amount, is a completely different thing being a top five pick and, you know, a 25th overall pick.
For sure. Now, what would you do if you're Zion? Because I know I heard DeMarcus Cousins talk about it today, saying, you know, he wouldn't play again if he was Zion. If you're Zion, are you suiting up ever again for the Duke Blue Devils, or are you waiting it out till you get drafted?
I'm going to be like, yo, Coach K, I love you. Give him a peace sign. I'm out, bro. I appreciate everything, but I can make a ton more money. Really, I'll just go to class for the rest of the year, work out of the facilities. I'm good to go. Also, I think the whole college thing, not even to get deeper into this, but the fact is they can't like make money off endorsements or anything like that. Like, that's just BS. Like, they should be able to do whatever they want.
Yeah, I mean, prime example, last night, all those guys came for Zion. I mean,
yeah.
Why else do you go to those games?
They don't even get money for their damn jerseys. Like, yeah, it doesn't say their name, it just has their number, but we know who they're buying the jersey for. It's just, like, complete trash, and it's just a whole bunch. Like, college is already a ripoff, and obviously that's a big topic going around politically right now, and college debt and all this stuff. And a lot of it is just, like, crazy. It's just, college doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't. And did you see, by any chance, I just want to bring this up to you, did you see the box score, though, last night for the Duke Blue Devils?
No, I did not. I pretty much lost interest after halftime, where it just felt like Duke had no juice. I was trying to watch for, like, some of the other prospects in the game, but I'll maybe watch from college when I get to March Madness.
All right, so last night, Duke scored 72 points. RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish combined for 60 of them.
Damn. And that's another thing with college too, is like the difference between the worst player and the best player is a substantial difference. Like, one guy is going to play rec league basketball for the rest of his life. One guy is going to be an NBA pro and possibly like an all-star type guy.
Yeah, man. crazy. I mean, like you said, I too last night. I mean, obviously we were all waiting for the NBA to come back. Luckily, Tristan Thompson also did some cheating earlier in the week, so we got to have some more headlines.
Yo, he had a supposedly 27 side chicks.
What?
Yeah.
Why do you need so many? I don't understand. I don't.
Why even have a girlfriend? Like, what's the point?
Did you? Did you, not? Well, not even like. Weren't they married or fiance? No, they were just
I don't dating. Even know. I know they have a child, I believe.
I know
not,
that.
I'm not up on the Kardashian.
I know that. I saw something that Jordan Clarkson was recording stuff, and he was like, some of his stuff got leaked. So once again, you know, Jordan Clarkson taking one out of the D'Angelo Russell book. I know D'Angelo Russell has grown a lot up from the Nick Young situation, but stop. I mean,
it was, I'll clarify. It wasn't Jordan Clarkson. It was somebody at the party he hosted.
Okay. So
he didn't record anything. It was just one of like the IG models that was there recorded Tristan Thompson going to a room with like two girls for like 30 minutes or something. But
that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, Tristan Thompson, no offense to him. He's just an idiot when it comes to that type of stuff. Like, he was caught at the club. Like, dude, you're 6'9", 6'10". You're huge. You're going to stick out. Everyone knows who you are if you're at a club. You're the biggest dude there. And yeah, if you're hooking up with girls, there's cameras and iPhones everywhere. Like, you're going to get caught. Just break up with your girl.
So dumb. I love the memes though. I already saw a meme of LeBron James talking to Savannah. It was like, he's like, I don't know what to tell you, babe. I'm not friends with them anymore. he was like, I left the team. He's like, I don't associate with people like that.
Yeah. It's just another whole drama.
Yeah. But at least the NBA is back tonight, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah. So we can hopefully get rid of some of these less important topics and more so on actual basketball, but they're always fun for a little bit.
For sure.
All right, that wraps it up. As always, appreciate everybody for listening. Corey, pleasure talking hoops with you. Check us out, iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads.